This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Of what happens when a play has no performers, only the audience, or when you hand a script to someone on stage and feed them secret instructions in their ear? Well, UK Theatre Collective Subject Object is bringing its bold double bill, work.text and instructions, to the Melbourne Fringe Festival. And both productions push the boundaries of live performance, playing the technology, humour, and unpredictability. And joining me in the studio is Artistic Director Nathan Ellis. Nathan, welcome to Drive.
Hi, what a pleasure to be here.
Now, tell us about work.text. I was going to say TXT, but it's text, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, so that's a very good description you gave. No actors in the show. The sort of central question in the show is about where is the work happening in a theatre piece if there's no performers in the space. So if you hand over everything to the audience, what does work like in this context?
So it could go anywhere.
Yeah, there's some quite specific. It is a specific set of instructions being delivered to the audience. So the audience don't go off on a free rein and do nothing. There's a projector which projects instructions, and then the audience are told what to say. And then they say it, sometimes all together and sometimes on their own.
Are some audiences better than others?
Yeah. Well, I've been lucky enough to perform the show all over the world, and pretty much every audience gets their own kind of energy out of it. Mm. I'm amazed by how enthusiastic people are to get up on stage and be involved. We've not yet had an audience who was too reticent to actually get up and do any of it. It always does end up happening, but people are various levels of keen versus not keen to be in the show.
Now, when did the idea first take hold for you that this could actually be a show?
We started working on the show about 6 years ago in 2019. Mm. And then we had a hiatus during COVID, but the idea for me, the starting point was, so the show is about work and about automation and about the ideas of an always on working culture, the kind of idea that like work has invaded all aspects of our lives.
Oh,
the idea that you're tracking your workouts and whether you're swimming and that kind of thing. And that idea was interesting to me. And then I was trying to think about how you might make a show where the audience were doing all of the work. And that was the starting point. So I started with that. And then I set up lots of different ways we did lots of experiments with different audiences and that kind of thing. And eventually this was the resulting show that we made out of that.
Timely with AI taking off in the workplace.
Yeah,
do you cover that as well?
Well,
you can just get them. AI, do the audience.
Well, the show, interestingly, so the show, as I say, was made in 2019 before COVID. The sort of central thing that happens in the story is about a main character who decides to stop working. They choose to lie down in the lobby at their work, and then they just stop, and then the story goes from there. And it felt kind of weird because we had that idea in 2019, and then during COVID, quite a lot of the world did actually stop working, and we got to see in real time what it looked like for the world to just stop. And actually what resulted out of that was, certainly in the UK where I'm from, was the experience that was people were desperate to get back to doing stuff. And that first initial stage of COVID, it was like, oh my God, we need to get stuff done. And that kind of energy pervades the show. And I think it's continued after COVID and in everyone's lives all the time.
I was going to say, let's just stop work now and go silent. But I did do it during COVID. I thought, let's do a breathing exercise, as you do on the radio, and went silent for a second. And of course, in a radio station, when you go silent, all these alarms go off.
Yeah.
So it didn't work. So I wasn't able to stop. But wouldn't it be great to be able to put down your tools and just go, let's just breathe for 30
seconds?
Yeah,
it would be very nice. I think the desire to be productive, though, is somewhat inbuilt in our culture and somewhere in our psyche. It's very deep within us to want to, make stuff, do stuff constantly.
But it is pervasive, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Because my watch, everything does everything. Everything's connected.
Yeah.
Do the audience feel different when they leave the show? Do they feel like they've had a bit of a break?
Yeah, the show, for a show that's about work, it's actually very playful, I find. So it's really, it's a good time is how I would describe it to people. There's lots of fun to be had. There are moments where people, and the kind of invitation is for people to come together and in real space, which, lots of people don't get that opportunity. Our lives are very online. It's in real space. They're working together to make something happen. There's a moment in the show where all of the audience are invited up on stage to come and build stuff together, which is a moment of play. play, kind of like the kind of play that you don't get to do as an adult.
Like an IKEA thing.
Like, it's not building a cabinet, no, but they are doing some work together. And I think that part of the experience of coming out of the show is actually that the thing that the audience have made, this very ephemeral thing that they've worked on together, will never be repeated. That audience will never come together again.
So it's different every night.
Every single night. The energy feels
so you could keep coming.
Different. You come every night and have a totally different experience.
I love it. We're chatting with Nathan Ellis, Artistic Director of UK Theatre Collective Subject Object, about his daring double bill work.txt and instructions at the Melbourne Fringe Festival. Nathan, my biggest fear is karaoke. I've never done it. I've tried it and I run out of the room.
Yeah.
I can't do it. You do a bit of a communal karaoke. Tell us about that.
The important thing to say is I don't really like interactive theatre. So the starting point for me was that I don't like the idea of going up on stage. There is nothing in the show that forces you to be involved. If you want to come and just watch other people
speak, you don't have to be nervous.
You don't have to be nervous at all. It doesn't force you. It's not going to embarrass you or make a fool of you at any point in the show. There is a moment in the latter stage of the show where there is some karaoke that happens. The audience are all sat in their seats and they sing together.
Oh, that's all right.
It's a beautiful experience. Okay. You're in the dark and you're singing some Celine Dion, it's a good time. It's a fun experience. And nobody's forced to sing if they don't want to. No one will listen to you having a horrible voice.
My heart will go on.
Yeah.
It must sound like Cats, I imagine.
Occasionally.
Yeah. You tried it? Do you sing it?
Every night, yeah, absolutely.
And what's the reaction when you say we're going to play that, we're going to do karaoke?
It sort of emerges out of the context of the story. It fits in. And when you see the show, it does sort of make a perverse kind of sense. There's something about that song that both expresses the idea of this kind of endless iterability of work, this show that feels like it might be never ending. And also, you know, the resonance with like the Titanic and the ship that goes down, those kind of things.
Karaoke goes down. You've pulled together a great lineup of talent as well. We've got Tom Ballard there. We've got Ash Flanders. Yeah. So many more. How'd you get all those people together?
Yeah, so this is for the show Instructions, which is the second part of the double bill, which has guest performers in the show every day. So it's a different person who plays the main character. And we've got some amazing Melbourne talent. The producer reached out to a bunch of people and everyone that we approached, the top of our list, they said yes, which is kind of amazing.
Great.
And it's very exciting because we'll get to see some of the best actors in Melbourne performing in this show and offering their interpretation of this piece that we've made.
Now, theatre, it often, I suppose, it resists digitisation, doesn't it? Even as AI and tech is creeping in around us in work and our lives. What is it about theatre that makes it so stubbornly human?
I think that actually, I mean, one of the arguments around AI and automation is that people's jobs are going to disappear and that the arts might disappear in this kind of haze of artificial intelligence and super intelligence, that kind of thing. I actually think there's something deep within us. I mean, this is an incredibly old art form and there's something within us that is desperate to see real people in space performing for us. There's something about that live experience that feels like we actually have always wanted it and will continue to always want it. I think it actually really does resist the digitization you're describing. The shows are pretty technical in their makeup, but what they really show to me is actually that they don't work without the humans within it, that the audience in work.txt and the actor in Instructions are the human element that makes the show work. And without that, there isn't anything to watch.
Nathan, you've done it in 11 countries. Is this the 12th one?
This is true, yeah. We've actually been in Australia before with work.txt. We performed work.txt in Adelaide in 2023. So, yeah, but this is 11 countries, yeah.
And what do you think of Fringe Festival?
Oh, fabulous. Yeah, it's so exciting. I'm very excited to be here. We've done 11 countries and festivals all over the world, but there's something kind of special, I think, about the Australian audience. There's something about the keenness, the excitedness to be involved, and also the way that the arts here have a very kind of interdisciplinary quality, that the mix of cabaret, comedy, theatre is really exciting here. So I think that the shows will fit into that kind of quality because they're a fun, entertaining bunch.
Now, David Byrne at the Royal Court called you the future of theatre.
Yeah, pretty big
when you hear that, do you feel the pressure or does it fire you up?
It doesn't feel like pressure. I think it's exciting. I mean, in in Britain, there's a really exciting range of theatre companies at that level making exciting work. And I've been lucky enough to travel all over the world and see lots of experimental work of this kind. And it feels like a very exciting time to be part of the theatre community, particularly that international theatre community.
Now, for anyone listening who might be fringe curious but hasn't booked yet, what would you say to them about coming along to see work.txt and instructions?
I'd say they're probably unlike other shows that you have seen in your life. So if you're looking for something a bit different, but that's not going to challenge you to the point of having a horrible time, then these are the ones to look out for.
You know what I love? You can go and do karaoke.
Yeah,
absolutely. Without fear.
Like, absolutely.
That's what I'm going to come and log into. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us on Drive today. That was Nathan Ellis, Artistic Director of Subject Object, whose shows work.txt and instructions run from the 1st of October at the Fringe Hub Common Rooms at Trades Hall. Tickets at melbournefringe.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.